Now we've got a split show for you tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to be talking about toxins in the air. What kind of toxins? That's the question. And then Hans Christian King returns to Coast as we talk about the other side. And when we come back in a moment with Catherine Albrecht, we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. So, Catherine, medically, what do you need to do now? Just get monitored, or what happens?
Well, I just finished radiation 10 days ago, so that part's done. That was pretty grueling. That was 33 days of every single day driving 40 minutes to the chemo, to the radiation center.
That's a lot.
Every single day. Yeah, it's a heavy thing, but it's like a 40% increase in survival for the cancer that I have. So it was worth it. I was willing to do it.
That's a dramatic turnaround for you.
It is. And that's what I keep trying to say about the chemo and the radiation and the surgery, is if you actually do the research on it, don't just believe that, you know, it's terrible for you. You'll see it really massively increases your chances of survival. And particularly in my case, because of where I was with the cancer. So that part's done, and because I have about 20% of breast cancers are a very aggressive form, which is called HER2 positive. It means that the cancer, the cells are using as fuel, they're using a growth hormone in the bloodstream. And so when they get a hold of it, they use it just like putting gas in a tank, and they grow like crazy, which is why the tumor was so big.
That's right.
So there's a special drug that women who have that kind of cancer receive for an additional year. And I will be done with that in June. So I do that every 3 weeks. I go in and I get an infusion of this Herceptin-like drug. And it's actually one of those targeted things I was telling you, where they found the genetic component of the cancer cell and they're targeting it. And instead, it's kind of cool because it sort of mimics the fuel that they're looking for, that the cancer cells look for. They have these little receptors, and instead of picking up the fuel, they pick up this little targeted drug that then kills them. So it's pretty neat.
In your research, did you see anything about pH balance of your body?
You know, there's, believe it or not, George, there's actually some research out there showing that in the presence of low pH, and I know everybody's on the alkalinity thing.
Yeah.
But in the presence of low pH, there are actually some cancers that proliferate, that actually grow faster. And that was like, okay. Now, I will notice this, though. I bought the pH strips back during that month. I told you I was trying to do the natural thing for a month before I did the chemo, or before I did the surgery and the chemo. And when I was eating properly, and you know when you're eating right? I mean, you know when you're eating salads and healthy.
And not a lot of sugary things.
Yeah, and you're not
bread.
You know, living on Baconators and beer, right? So when I'm eating right, the alkaline strips look better. They actually look really good. And when I'm eating badly, the alkaline strips don't look good.
That's right.
But I don't need the alkaline strip to tell me that I'm eating badly or well. My own brain and my own experience and my own body tell me.
It just reinforces things.
It does. And it was helpful because it was kind of like a motivator. You know, I'm going to eat right so that tonight when I pee on this little strip, it's going to be the color I want it to be instead of the color I don't want it to be. And that was helpful because it kind of kept me in mind that if I eat properly, it's going to look good. But the reality, you know, your blood and your body systems internally are set within a very narrow range of pH. And if you modify it too much, you know, some of these people who are using baking soda and injecting it have actually had some patients die over in Europe by having their electrolyte balance and their pH balance of their bloodstream throw off, you know, go out of whack, and they wind up with, you know, unexplained cardiac failure and other things. So, you know, it's a little dangerous to really mess with that. But the common sense stuff that you and I know to do, you exercise. You don't drink too much. You don't eat garbage. You know, you don't
garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, we all know that. It's just how do you put all that together, and what motivates you enough to really do it? And, you know, sometimes it takes a cancer diagnosis to make those changes.
To the phones now we go. East of the Rockies, Jeff in Cleveland, Ohio, will be our first. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good, Jeffrey. Thank you.
I'm so glad I finally get a chance to talk to you. Best wishes for your daughter.
Thank you.
And same to you, Catherine, for your continued success there. The first thing I wanted to talk about is the homeopathic remedies. There's this stuff, the most, well, you know that they've been using honey like 5,000 years ago in Egypt for medicinal purposes.
Yeah.
So there's this stuff, it's called Mankur honey. It's M-A-N, like man, K-U-R. and it's available only from New Zealand, and apparently it does everything. Kills nausea. It's an antiseptic. You can use it on open cuts. You can use it on burns. It just does all kinds of things. So look that one up. And there's just too many things that it does to even go over on the phone. You might want to do a show next time you have a homeopathic person on there based around that. But I wanted to find out a couple of things about the internet situation. First of all, if you use private browsing, does that still target the information back to Google, or does that completely separate all of that?
It does. So I assume you're talking about StartPage. And by the way,
no.
George, I got an email asking me if it's StarPage, and it's Start.
Start.
S-T-A-R-T.
No, I wasn't talking about that. Firefox and Internet Explorer both have a way that you can do, it's just called private browsing, where it completely separates you supposedly from everything else, where nobody can track your thing. Like if you want to do banking or something like that, it supposedly separates you from any way of being able to be tracked.
Well, the only way that I'm aware of that you can access a website without the website seeing your IP address or being able to put cookies on your browser, and remember those are the kind of the two key ways that websites track you, is if you go through a proxy. And there are lots of proxy services out there. StartPage has one too. But the proxy is this idea that when I want to log on to whatever website, let's say it's the National Institutes of Health and I want to look up cancer, and I don't particularly want the National Institutes of Health and the federal government getting my IP address or putting a cookie on my browser for that. But if I wanted to do that, then I could access that website through a proxy. And the proxy, what the proxy would do, and StartPage does this, is they would go out to the National Institutes of Health, grab the cancer page you want to see, take it from that website, load it on their servers, and then show it to you. And then they are kind of a go-between. They're in between blocking your IP address from reaching the website or the website's cookies from reaching your browser. So, yes, there are settings. And speaking of browsers, you raise an important point when you talk about Internet Explorer and Firefox and Safari and all the various browsers. There are settings in there that people need to change. You know, the default setting is accept all the cookies and accept all the privacy invasion. But you can actually go in there and set I've got Firefox. You can set Firefox to delete all cookies every time you close it. And then when you're done, you close down Firefox, you close down your computer, and all the cookies are automatically deleted. Now, you're going to pick up more the next time you go surfing, but they're not going to be the old ones, and so they won't be able to make those connections over time. And there's other settings like that. So I would encourage people to take a close look at the privacy section of the pull-down menus on their browsers and actually change the settings and make them more to your liking, and you can do some private surfing and protect yourself better.
All right, very good. Next up, we go to Frank in Chino, California, Wildcard Line. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, sir.
You're welcome.
Ms. Catherine, I was wondering, where can you find or locate the turmeric and other herbs to help fight cancer?
What you want, there's a difference between turmeric and curcumin. And let me clarify this, because Bharat Agarwal was explaining this to me, too. The turmeric is the root. It's a plant. It grows in the ground. And they grind it up and they make it into curry. It's what makes curry yellow. 3% of that turmeric root is curcumin. And so you can either eat turmeric, and you can buy that at any Indian market. It's cheap. It's plentiful. It's kind of bitter. And frankly, I find it a little hard to cook with. Unless I'm making curry or something with a lot of sweetness in coconut. But it's a little bit bitter. What I take personally is the curcumin, which is the extract. It's the 3% of it that's been, refined out of it. And that's what they're showing the clinical trials on, is on curcumin. And I'll spell it. It's C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N. You can find it at any health food store nowadays.
And make sure you take black pepper with it, too.
Yeah, actually, yes, the curcumin is potentiated, as they say. It's synergistic with black pepper. So sometimes you can find these supplements, and there's a lot of brands of it, and they're all great as long as they actually have curcumin, not turmeric. The turmeric's really cheap. You can just buy it. You don't even need a pill. But if you're going to buy the curcumin, make sure it really is curcumin and says, you know, 95% curcuminoids or however they say it. And if they combine it with black pepper, which you can buy in the pill or you can actually do it yourself, you know, just eat something with pepper on it, sprinkle it on a piece of toast, it actually works better. And George, you're totally on target with that.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Appreciate that. Absolutely. Back to the privacy issues a little bit in the search engines and everything else. What's new in the RFID world?
You know, RFID is scaring me as much as it scared me ever. There's a brand new report out from Accenture, which is one of these companies that makes the anti-theft devices in the doorways. And for people who don't remember what RFID is, it's radio frequency ID. It's the microchips that they want to put into products that can send signals, electronic signals, and be picked up by doorways and floors and ceilings and the like. And there's really two places this is bad. Accenture has a new report out that is showing that 50%, they claim, 50% of retail companies out there selling clothes are experimenting with or actually embedding RFID into their clothes today. So they're either doing it in the back room, they're running trials on it, or they're actively selling it to people. So that's creepy. The other side of it that is just as disturbing, if not more so, are these border crossing cards and the ID cards. Because now we've got an increasing number of people. We just fought it in New Hampshire and we won. They tried to introduce a bill here in New Hampshire that would have opened us up to the so-called enhanced driver's license that's now available in Michigan and New York and Oregon and a bunch of states, border states. And they shot it down here, but what it is it they kind of sell you this bill of goods. They say, when you renew your driver's license, we will turn it into a passport card that you can use to cross over into Mexico or Canada if you pay this extra fee. What they don't tell you, unless you read the fine print, is the way it works is with an RFID tag that has an extended read range that is supposed to work as you drive up to the border. It can read you from like 50 feet away through your car windshield and identify you long before you even get to the border crossing guard. So if you've got that in your pocket, and if you're in one of those border states, first of all, get rid of it, tear it up, go to your DMV, get a regular driver's license, get rid of it and get a normal passport. But if you walk into a Walmart store, the Walmart underwear shelf is equipped with RFID readers to read RFID tags on Walmart underwear packages.
Oh, geez.
And as you're standing in front of the Walmart shelf, the Walmart shelf cannot help but read the ID card in your wallet. Because when they created these ID cards, they did not use an encrypted special kind of RFID. They used product RFID. They used the same kind of RFID, it's called EPC, that they're using to replace the barcode. So the readers can not only read the products, but the readers can read your driver's license if you have one of those. So I tell everybody, do not get an enhanced driver's license. Don't get one of these high-tech border crossing cards. Get a plain old regular passport booklet that opens and closes, has the blue cover, the big ones. It does have an RFID chip in it, but it's a whole different kind of RFID with a short read range. It's encrypted, and it's not going to be beaming your identity to Walmart shelves and border crossings 50 feet away.
Okay, let's go to Alexandria, Louisiana. Cornelius's turn. Go ahead, Cornelius.
Hey, George. Hey, Catherine. God bless both of y'all. George, I want to thank you and Coast to Coast and Tommy. I know y'all been praying for my mama. She's dying of blood cancer, but because of y'all prayers and stuff, she's really she's improving.
Good.
I just wanted to know from Catherine, is there an 800 number where you can get these mushrooms or anything? And
just go to their website. Or you don't have a computer, do you?
I don't have a computer.
If you go to just my website, kmashow.com. Or
he doesn't have a computer.
That's what I was going to tell you. That's why I was hoping you could give us an 800 number.
Maybe if we get it, I'll give it to Tommy for you.
And hold up, there's something on privacy I wanted to ask about too.
All right, go ahead.
And I saw your video. You were with Grant Jeffrey, Shadow Government.
Yes.
Talking about RFID and stuff.
You know, I was the associate producer of that movie.
Oh.
Believe it or not, yeah, I worked with Cloud 10 Pictures, and I actually helped produce that film, Shadow Government.
Wow. And I saw you in another film, too. I got this, and I know it's because of Coast to Coast, because I didn't order this magazine or anything. It's something where they send you know, this stuff out about different videos. It's from Hawaii. And they just tell you about different things about freedom and all like that and different videos and books you can order. But I really did enjoy you in that. But you're a Christian, right?
I am.
Okay. What I was going to say is, I mean, honestly, we can fight against this, and I believe in fighting against it. But in the end, we're going to lose. But I mean, in a way, we're going to win, too, because God's going to win.
Well, I think we're going to win in the long run. Catherine, Tom has a text message for you over in the studio for you. So, Tom, what do you have for
us? Hey, Catherine, phone's going off the hook. John from Tulsa, Oklahoma says, lost my mom to cancer. I just don't trust chemo. How much does luck play in curing cancer?
Yeah, you know, there is no cure for cancer. That's the thing. Even when you've gone through chemo, radiation, the whole nine yards, they never say you're cured. And that's the thing that everybody who's listening to me who's been through cancer treatment is nodding vigorously right now. You're always looking over your shoulder, always. Somebody once put it, they said it's like crossing the mob and getting away with it. You're always wondering, are they going to break in and break my legs and you know, toss me in the cement boots into the ocean. You know, the thing about cancer is you never really know if you're free of it. And so, you know, the prayer, and I know, George, your listeners pray, and we need to be praying for a cure for this disease because it is devastating. And the numbers are going up. We are losing mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, children. I mean, it's a scourge. And we really need to pray for a cure for cancer. So how much of a role does luck play? You know, a big role. It really does. Now, in my case, because of the kind of cancer I had and how advanced it was, I was given horrible statistics for survival. I mean, they were really bad. If I did not do the treatment, and they know this because they've looked at, you know, tens of thousands of people, if I didn't do the treatment, my chances of survival were something like 20% in 5 years. I mean, it was horrible. And I'm looking at
it. Can't get much lower than that, can it?
It can't. I mean, that's really bad odds. With the treatment, it goes well up. I mean, you know, depending on who you ask, it goes up into, you know, 50, 70, 80, 90%, depending on who you ask. And I'm gonna think on the higher end of that, believe me. But how do you know which one you're going to be? And I know women who have done everything quote unquote right. They've exercised. They haven't, you know, they haven't drunk. They haven't smoked. They haven't done, you know, they've done everything right. And boom, it still gets them. So how much of a role does luck play? A lot. But let me also say that I'm not sure I really believe in luck per se. I absolutely do believe in the power of prayer, and I do believe that God's got His plan. And, you know, if His plan is that He takes me at some point, I just hope I have the grace to say with dignity, I got you, God, you're in charge.
Well, it sounds like your faith has gotten you through a lot of things too, Catherine. Stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, and we shall take final phone calls, so don't touch your dial. Well, are you a member of the Coast Insiders Club? You can be for just 25 cents a day. All you have to do is go to the coasttocoastam.com website and fill out the information where you see Coast Insider. You'll enjoy it, and you'll be part of the club. Catherine, how important is attitude in all of this for you?
You know, the jury's kind of out on that. It was a big thing in the 70s and the 80s and even up to today to say you've really got to keep a positive attitude or the cancer will get you. And what we do know, based on the research, and again, I'm always looking at research, we know that your attitude affects your immune system.
Sure does.
If you are constantly fighting, they can actually measure whether, you know, they can take people who are in happy relationships and people who just had a fight with their spouse, and they can actually see measurable differences in their immune response because we are very susceptible to stresses. And so attitude, what is attitude really other than a measure of how much goodness and how much stress and how much of all of these things are going on in our lives? And yes, I believe that the people who have, you know, the strong strengthened immune systems, who have the strong healthy bodies, are the ones who are less likely to get cancer in the first place. And if they do have a genetic predisposition, which I may well have because my mother's aunt and my aunt both died of breast cancer, if you do have that going on and you do wind up with breast cancer, the positive attitude keeps you, first of all, going so you can get through the treatment. You have to put one foot in front of the other to get through that. And I think it's going to play a big role in, for me, in how willing I am to do the research and do the work and do the things that I need to do to get better. So, you know, that's kind of a convoluted way of saying it's not the magic bullet, but it plays a role.
All right, let's go to final calls now, Catherine. La Quinta, California, it's Jeff's turn. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, George, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I honestly think you're both doing God's work here, getting this information out. I have a comment and a question.
All right.
My comment is, you know, my sister had breast cancer, and I don't know whether it's the insurance that dictates what kind of, you know, service you get, but they found it. They gave her a double mastectomy, and very minimal, you know, aftercare treatment. I don't know if that's... you know, what they do in some cases. She had put it off and put it off, and by the time they detected it, they had to cut it out and gave her a double mastectomy. And my comment is, or my question is, I'm going to be starting, I have liver issues, and I'm going to be starting interferon. And that's a drug that for hepatitis C.
That's right.
And it does the same thing. I went through one trial of it and it wasn't successful, and they have a new medication out, but it's the same type thing where I inject myself with this low grade chemotherapy kind of stuff, you know, 3 times a week, and I do that for like 9 months.
Okay, and you've got what, do you have Hep C?
Yes, sir, I do.
You do, and I'm sure your liver profile is out of whack, right?
Out of whack, and every time I've asked them, George, about milk thistle and that type of stuff, they tell me, just stay away from all that. Just stay away from all that. You know, you don't need to put anything into your body. You know, just eat a healthy diet, lose some weight. You know, I've done that. And once you go on the chemo or on the interferon, you automatically lose weight. You know, your hair thins and you become a bear. You're just not the right person. You become depressed. And I'm willing to go through all of this, you know, to put this at bay. I'm in my 50s, and
when I was about 35, I had a liver profile test, and those numbers were out of whack to the point where the doctor thought I might have had hepatitis C. He checked again and said, no, you don't. I don't know what's wrong. They checked to make sure I didn't have liver cancer and all that. I started taking milk thistle, and I got to tell you, I went back about 6 months later. Brand new liver profile test, all normal, all normal. And they've been normal ever since.
Can I say something about milk thistle?
Yep.
You know, as a mushroomer, and we talked about this earlier, and you said, oh, that's really dangerous. Well, there's one really toxic mushroom that's in the Amanita family. And if you eat so much as a little piece of it the size of an aspirin pill, you can wind up in toxic liver failure within 3 days and die. And if you go to your local hospital and they say, oh, my gosh, you've eaten a toxic mushroom, they will call up the central mushroom experts and they will be told to give that patient milk thistle. This is how I first learned about it, because as a mushroomer, we all know about Amanita toxins and Amanita poisoning, which will kill you deader than dead. And they have actually found that the milk thistle that they administer, that's what they give you. They don't have anything else. There's no anti-venom.
And Jeff, it won't hurt you.
Milk thistle, I kid you not. This is what they do in the emergency room hospitals for people who have eaten Amanita mushrooms. They give them milk thistle, and in an amazing number of cases, these people completely turn around and they survive, because the liver is this amazing regenerative organ. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't, you know, treat whatever medical conditions, blah, blah, blah. But I can say, get on, and this is what I say for anything. You want to know, does milk thistle work or not work with hepatitis? You want to know, does baking soda cure or not cure? Is lemon juice going to fix whatever? Go on to PubMed. This is my one tip for research. PubMed. Just, you know, go to Start Page or Google, wherever you go. Look up PubMed, just like it sounds, PubMed. It's a website, and it's wonderful, of all of the medical research on anything. And so literally, as you were talking here, I went on to PubMed, and I looked up milk thistle hepatitis. And there's a whole ton of articles that came up as a result on PubMed. This is a free online searchable database of medical research, 55 articles that contain those two phrases. Now, I don't know what they say. It would take me some time to read through them, and you may need somebody with a little bit of, you know, a medical background or an ability to kind of read through this stuff for you. But it's, see, that's the cool thing about the internet. It's all there at your fingertips. You don't have, you know, you can do the research, and sometimes patients are even taking things off of PubMed, printing it out, and taking it to their oncologist. It's what I did with the Coriolis mushroom. I printed out the PSK studies from Japan where they're using this on chemo patients in Japan, and I printed it out from PubMed, and I said, here, look at this. And my oncologist went, oh. So oftentimes we can find things that they don't even know about in the medical research. So, you know, do your homework. Don't do anything your doctor says not to do. But you can sometimes educate your doctor by taking an article and saying, look at this, and this is why I want to do it. And that's how I got my oncologist to agree to me taking, you know, the Coriolis and the milk thistle and the CoQ10 and the resveratrol and all the stuff I'm taking.
You have to do that. And it won't hurt you.
You gotta be an advocate. I can't say it won't hurt you. What won't hurt you is doing the research and taking the research to your doctor. And if your doctor won't even look at it, maybe you need a new doctor. If your doctor will look at it and engage it with you and say, yes, that's what it says, but in your case, here's the circumstance of why I don't want you to do it, then, you know, listen.
Yeah, but I haven't seen any toxicity with milk thistle.
You know, I can't answer that. I don't know. I haven't done the research on toxicity. I just know for my particular case, my liver numbers were through the roof. They were completely out of whack, and milk thistle normalized them.
Yep.
And I knew it would because of the mushroom experience with all those toxic, you know, poisoned mushroom people who turn their livers around. I figure if they can do it, why wouldn't it help with chemo? And the only thing you want to find out, though, is if you're going to do something like that, is it going to interfere with the treatment?
And sometimes these things filter
through the same metabolic pathways. And if so, if you're going to, like when I would get chemo, there were certain supplements I had to stop for 4 to 8 hours beforehand. And I had to stop them because they filter through the body through the same metabolic pathways, and they would have blocked the places the chemo needed to go. So this is the kind of stuff you may not figure out on your own, but your doctor may know it. And so when your doctor says, don't do this, you know, ask them why. And if it's just, well, I don't know, just eat right, that's not a good enough answer. Look at this research and tell me why I should not do it. And then if they start saying metabolic pathways and other things, then you go, well, maybe they know something I don't.
All right, back to the calls. North Carolina, Mike, it's your turn. Go ahead, Michael. Good morning.
Hello, George. Hello, Catherine.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, I've got a question. I'm kind of a trivia buff. And I've asked people about what Google is and what it means, and never had an answer. And I found out a couple of years ago. I wonder if either of you know.
Isn't it a huge number of something, but I don't know the number?
That is
like a Googleplex, right?
That is correct. It's one followed by 100 zeros, and it's the world. It's theoretically the largest number.
Interesting. All right. Well, there you go. And you know, that's kind of what Google wants to be, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's a ubiquitous word now, which means it's everywhere, and a lot of people have never, I guess I'm a person that stops and just says, what does that mean? And I just looked it up or something on the internet, I think.
That's good trivia. Yeah, and I'm just trying to not use it as a verb. That's my key thing. If I could just not say Google this.
Google them.
Yeah.
Longview, Texas. Sonny, it's your turn. Go ahead, Sonny.
Hey, good morning, George.
Sure,
good
hi.
Good morning, Miss Catherine. Listened to you for a long time. I never thought they could replace Art Bell, but darn if I don't like it better now.
Well,
I'm calling regarding some research I ran across watching, I believe, Modern Marvels or something. It was a program on synthetic materials. This doctor is making synthetic nano diamonds. Dean Ho is his name, that he can chelate these beyond microscopic diamonds with the cancer curing medicine, and a protein attached to each corner of the facet of those diamonds have a V shape that will attach to the cancer cell that apparently is a V shape. Have you heard of any of this research?
So who's doing this research again?
Dr. Dean Ho.
And is he doing it with a cancer facility, or is this like something I could look up on PubMed, or is this something that he's just posting on his website?
I do not know that, but it does target the cells, like you said, that your treatment is doing. That is, what do you call it?
I have had every cancer treatment possible under the sun has been run past me, including, you know, eating asparagus and standing on your head.
Poked, prodded, everything, huh?
Everything's been run past me, and so I have become an instant skeptic when it comes to cancer treatments. I know nothing about this guy's treatment, but I'm a skeptic. And what I will do when I first hear about something, I will look it up on PubMed. I'll do the research. I will look around and see, are there anti-testimonials? I mean, some of these guys, there's a guy named Gerd Hamer over in Germany who does German new medicine. I was reading it. I looked back, and in May, I emailed my husband. I said, this looks really interesting. And then I just recently found the anti-testimonial page of all the people who had died. And you're seeing ulcerated breast cancers and wounds. And I'm like, oh! And, you know, that's the kind of stuff they're not going to tell you, but it's out there if you know how to search for it. So I would just say, you know, keep an open mind, but not so open that your brain falls out. You've got to be careful and skeptical. And until somebody proves to me something works and proves it beyond just showing me two or three people that they claim were cured, until they prove to me it works, I'm just going to assume it probably doesn't, because I've seen so many fakes out there.
Don't be such a skeptic, though, Catherine.
You know, but don't be such, this isn't to you, George, because I know you don't, but you know, don't be such a sucker, because I've seen stuff that prior to getting breast cancer,
no, you have to be smart.
Believed, and it's flat out false. I mean, factually false. I can prove it.
You have to be smart. There are hucksters out there. You got to be careful.
Alas, yeah.
Let's go to London, Ontario. Richard, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi, Richard.
Hi, George. Catherine. Hi. Excellent, excellent topic tonight.
Thank you.
I like to mention that I'm a diabetic for about 18 years now, type 2.
Okay.
On metformin, but I tell you, my cholesterol, I've been having nothing but health problems after health problems. I started out with the diabetes, and then it went to cholesterol, high blood pressure, and I'm on 6-7 different meds, but I'll tell you one thing. Research. Tonight, what Catherine was saying, that's the key word for tonight, research. Because through research that I did, and that I got friends in that have health food places, and I've been reading pamphlets, books, you won't believe this. I was on 3 different blood pressure pills, and the doctor took me off 2 of them. And I'm just taking the one right now.
Good.
I floored it by eating lots of garlic. And I mean, not just 2 or 3 cloves. I mean, the whole head of garlic. And for my cholesterol, I've been doing a mixture of silicium with flaxseed and pure bran and
Well, and you're doing it yourself, Richard. That's the important thing. You're doing the research. That's, you know, of the many things the internet has brought to us, Catherine, to be able to sit down and really do a lot of your own research is absolutely marvelous, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, it's a mixed bag. It's a bit of both, because some of the things I look back on my early research back in, you know, January, February, March, April, back in the early part of 2011, and I compare it with what I know now, and I went down a lot of rabbit holes that didn't pan out, that I later look back on, just like I was just describing that one particular case. So I look back on it and I'm like, I can't believe I almost did that. So research is a good thing, but you also have to be very discerning in what you find, because a lot of these websites will have very compelling arguments and yet nothing other than testimonials. And that's probably your number one tip-off. Testimonials alone are kind of a tip-off that they don't have really anything else to show you. So just, you know, again, I'm going to say be careful. And when you mentioned diabetes, I couldn't help but remember that I had read that cinnamon is...
That helps lower it, your glucose levels.
In lowering it,
yep.
Yeah. So, you know, there's so many things out there in food. And again, we get back to what you were talking about, George. You know, cinnamon and watermelon and all...
Bitter melon, a tablet, that lowers it. I mean,
And even literally watermelon.
They now say green coffee bean extract drops your glucose level by 25%.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
You know, they're going to, as you said, they're going to find the cure for AIDS. It's going to be some little thing in the rainforest.
If there's any rainforest.
Susan E. Webb. And that's another reason.
Catherine, we've got a minute left. I want you to give out some of your websites. You've got many, and tell us things where people can get a hold of you.
All right. KMAshow.com is the key place. I do a daily radio program that people can learn all about at KMAshow.com. That's probably your central location, KMAshow.com. And, you know, I've got links to pretty much everything on there. I am going to be working this year, so people could say a prayer for my health and my recovery. I'm going to be done with the cancer treatment in June.
Woo-hoo.
And this year, my goal and my plan is to sit down with all that I've learned and the, like, 27 things I take every morning and figure out how can I make the case as to why these things were so helpful, and how can I encourage people not to throw the baby out with the bathwater? If you have cancer, really take a look at what both sides can offer you, and don't give up on either one, because both the conventional and the alternative have things to offer, and your real goal is to get through it alive. That's the key.
I love your attitude, Catherine.
Thank you, George. Well, I always love yours.
Well, got to be upbeat. You know that.
You better believe it. And, you know, God's been with me the whole way. And I just have to put a shout out to my homeboy, Jesus Christ. Just had to say that.
Okay. See you later. Catherine Albrecht. She's one of a kind. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.